So we left off yesterday. We're talking about the Machlekes HaRishonim, how to define what's considered to be a kesher in the Torah, what's considered to be a kesher in the Rabbanan, and what's considered to be not a kesher at all. So the issue was that there were two different versions of the Rishonim as to what exactly the guidelines are. So it boiled down to, according to Rashi, it was all a factor of time. According to the Rambam, it was a combination of factors of time plus Maisa Uman, a professional kind of a knot, which basically translated for us to mean the chumas of both. So therefore, any knot that is either professional is automatically going to be off limits, in deference to the Rambam's view. Any knot that is even semi-permanent is automatically going to be off limits, according to Rashi's view. So the only thing that we have left to define is what exactly is considered to be professional and what exactly is considered to be semi-permanent. But we should just know that either one of those two things is going to spell a problem for us. So the Ramah, in the fourth of the back to the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, it's five lines from the bottom of the Ramah. So the Ramah writes, the beginning of the line, V'yesh Omrim, T'yesh li zoresh lo lahat t'shum keshe sh'shnik sharam zel zeh, v'ein on a b'kiyam eizem mikr keshe shal uman, v'yafilu b'she'en lo shechliyam ma'os l'kosh v'udin la'tiro v'chein ogin. Says the Ramah, that one should be careful not to either tie or to untie. We haven't yet spoken about untying, but the sugi of untying is fairly simple. Whatever you're not allowed to tie, you're not allowed to untie. So we just yet say one of the malachas. We'll have a little bit more to talk about it as we go on, but it's, for our purposes right now, it's the same thing. So says the Ramah, one should neither tie nor untie any double knot. Shnei Ksharim Zal Zeh. Where in the world did that come from? So that came from some of the Rishonim, the Shulta Giborim in Masechet Shabbos, that says that any time you have a double knot, we're always afraid that constitutes a professional knot. Now, why in the world should that be a professional knot? So the Shulta Giborim and the Ramah seem to be assuming that the term Maisa Uman does not necessarily conjure up an image of a professional in the sense of that the average person can't do it. That's not what Chazal meant when they spoke about a Maisa Uman. What a Maisa Uman meant is that it's something that's stronger, something that takes a little bit more effort to make, a little bit more effort to undo. That's considered to be a Maisa Uman. Whether you, as an amateur, can do it or not, doesn't really make a difference. It's all considered to be included in the din of a Maisa Uman. Therefore, the Ramah says, it's hard to know at what point you say that the knot took a lot of effort to it. At what point you say that's a tight, it's a strong knot. So once you have a double knot, we're always afraid. Every double knot is a chashash of a Maisa Uman, and every Maisa Uman is a chashash of the Shittas HaRambam. So just two chashashes just combined together, v'cheinogin, that's what the Ramah writes, that's what our minig is. So therefore, one should not be tying any double knot under any circumstances, says the Ramah. However, when we come back home, what if a person has a particular situation of tzar, and they happen to have a double knot, and they have to undo the double knot? Poskim says, your shoes are stuck on your kid's feet or something, or some big tzarech. So says the Ramah, well, it's probably okay. The enuel isa derabanan makom tzar lo gozru. So says the Ramah, well, the worst case scenario, it's only going to be a derabanan, because it's not, doesn't meet the second criteria of shel kayamat liolam. So it's only a derabanan. It's not even only a derabanan. It's a chumra, gami a chumra of a derabanan. It's the Rambam's version of a derabanan. It's the Shulta Giborim's version of what a Maisa Uman is. So in a makom tzar, big extenuating circumstances, one would be permitted to do so. So basically, we've just collected a few chumras in the sugya of kosher. We have defined the issa derabanan as being either one of those two factors. Either Maisa Uman automatically does you in, or a Kwaza Shokhayam is going to do you in. We added to that Chumrah the definition of Maisa Uman being Chayshish for the Ramah is double knot. And this is added to what we spoke about earlier in the Sugi of Kosher. There was a machlokes poskim, what exactly is considered to be kayama, how kayama is kayama. So when we try to be machmir that 24 hours is already a chashash of kayama. So when all the dust settles in the Sugi of Kosher, the only real two questions you have to ask yourself are the following. I want to tie or untie any given knot, you have to ask two questions. Is it a double knot? If the answer to that question is yes, it's a double knot, then forget it. Then one should not be tying it all together. If the answer to that question is no, it's not a double knot, then you still have to ask the next question, namely, how long is this going to last? And if the answer is it's going to last more than 24 hours, then you shouldn't be tying that either. So the only time it's mutter to tie to untie knots, l'chatchila shemuchatchila, according to the way we try to practice, is that it has to be clear of any chashash and maisa uman with the chumra version of maisa uman, and any chashash of kayama with the chumra version of kayama. How does this play out l'maisa, just for some examples that we have? So let's say if a person wants to make a tie on Shabbos. So first I should have demonstrated. First, I'm afraid to make this demonstration because the last time I made this demonstration goes back almost 20 years ago when I was teaching in Stern at the time of Shabbos. I decided to demonstrate the making, the unmaking of the tie. I took it off and I was trying to yank it in. I made it such a way I couldn't get it back on again. So we'll pass on the video and demonstration. The bottom line is when you make a tie, so if you think about it, when you go home for homework tonight, make the tie. When you make a tie, there are different ways of making ties. Some people probably fill me in on the lumber spot of making a tie. The bottom line, there are different ways of making ties. Some ties involve the making of a double knot. Double knot is not so complicated. You go over once, then you go over around, you go over again. So anytime you do that motion of going once and then going a second time, that's considered to be a kesher agav b'kesher. Shnei kesherim zeh lazeh, which even if it's being done temporary, according to some, would be a problem. So there are those who have to practice not to make a tie in Shabbos because of that. Those who are makel to make ties in Shabbos, either if you make a tie in such a way that's not a double knot, that's okay. Or it's less than 24 hours, that would be okay. Or those who are not choshish for this, maybe assume as follows. Maybe they assume we don't follow all these chumras of Shnei Kesherim. It's possible. But they may assume that there's some poskim who write that even though there are moz machmir for Shnei Kesherim zeh lazeh, that's only when it's really tight. That's when you really got to work on it, got to yank it. The whole idea of Shnei Kesherim zeh lazeh is it's a really tight kind of a knot, so it's almost, quote-unquote, like a professional knot. If it's such an easy knot, it is technically Shnei Kesherim zeh lazeh, but it's so easy to come off, so then maybe that's not even included in the Chumra of the Ramah. Maybe that would be a Libun Tzchus for those who make ties on Shabbos.
What about that there's no function to the knot? Other than,
it's just function is to keep it on, otherwise it'll fall off your neck. It's there to keep the tie in place. So you're doing it for whatever reason you're doing it. It's a positive reason. You want to make yourself look nice. And the only way to wear the tie is to make the knot. So the Yesh, there are those who are machmir not to make those knots in Shabbos, and there are others who are a little bit more lenient about it. But now there's a second part in terms of the knots, and that's the issue of a bow. Where does a bow fit into this entire picture? So if you take a look at the 8th in the Mamukamos, so the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Yudzai and Tzivhei quotes, Aniva Mutter Delav Kesherhu. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes outright that just merely making a bow is not a problem. Making a bow is not considered to be a kesher altogether. How does Shulchan Aruch know this? It wasn't such a simple statement in the Gemara. It was actually machlekes HaTanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that a bow is considered to be potentially a problem of a kesher, and the Chacham disagreed. So la halacha, we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha, we paskin that aniva is mutter. So it sounds like everything's great. You can tie your shoes, you can do whatever you want. Everything's mutter as long as you're making a bow. The Ramah, even as a heter, even as a kula, comes to Ramah and says, Hagav, v'afilu im ase kesher echad lamata, nogin bo heter. So comes the Ramon and says, even if you made one knot on the bottom of the bow, that would still be permissible. So the Ramon seems to be describing with the way most people will tie their shoes. Is I take the two strings, and I go over one time. So the going over one time, that's called one kesher. But rather than making a second knot, and then take the two ends and make it into a bow, so that sounds like a classic, what we call a niva agabi kesher. And the Ramon says, no, gebo heter. The Ramon says, it sounds like it's mutter. What could possibly go wrong? So comes the Mishnah Berurah in the 9th in the Marmakamos and says, not so simple. If you look at all the later poskim who comment on this Ramah, they make the following distinction. Says the Mishnah Berurah in the 9th in the Marmakamos, Nogu bo heter, v'kasvu acharonim, hadu nogin heter, b'kesher echad lamata, that which we say that if you have one knot on the bottom and then a bow on top, hadu davka kesha osi lahater bo bayom, that's only if you're planning on undoing this today. Umishum da'ayadeh niva gabi kesher, a diet ain't on nikra ma'isa uman. That basically what the Ramah is telling us is that although a machmir, that professional knots are a problem, and although the Ramah says a machmir, that any double knot is a fear, maybe it's a quasi professional knot, and it's going to be a problem under all circumstances, but if it's an aniva gabi kesher, that is not professional, that is not tight, that's not a strong knot. Nobody could ever say that a bow on top of a single knot is a Maisa Uman problem. So what the Ramah meant is that we can circumvent that Chumrah of Maisa Uman by merely making a Boa Gabi Anat. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, that only solves one of the problems. It doesn't solve the permanent issue, because remember we learned before that anytime you have a knot of any degree of permanence, it's a problem, even if it's not a Maisa Uman. Remember we're being Choshesh, this is all part of our background from yesterday, we're being Choshesh for Rashi's version, and we're being choshish for the Rambam's version. According to the Rambam, Maisa Umans are out of the question. according to Rashi, any temporary/permanent, anything anywhere in the middle is automatically out of the question. So says the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the Gedolei HaPoskim that although the Ramah kind of, you know, Machtavek, he said, oh, don't worry about it. Aniva Gabikesh, everything's fine. He didn't mean everything's fine. He meant everything's fine based on what I said before. It means you don't have to be worried that an Aniva Gabikesher is a concern of a Maisa Uman. But it's still no worse than a Maisa Hedyot. It's still no better than a Maisa Hedyot. And as a Maisa Hedyot, so then if it's going to be for a couple of days, it's going to be a problem. So it's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah continues. Valimila Kayama Alezaz Man can go in Belula V'chayot Zebo. So says the Mishnah Berurah, but if you're making a bow on top of a single knot, if it's there for a couple of days, that's going to be a problem. If you want to make a double bow, that's all right. Because as long as you don't make that motion of a knot, as long as you don't make that process of a knot, of two strings going over one another, so then you're just in the realm of aniva. If you're purely in the realm of aniva, then there's nothing to worry about. But if once you enter into the realm of an aniva gabekesher, then you're asking for trouble if it's permanent. And permanent means even more than 24 hours. So how does this play out? What the Mishnah Berurah just said, how does this play out, Lamaisa? So this becomes very important. This becomes the issue in terms of tying shoelaces. So is a person permitted to tie shoes, tie and untie shoes in Shabbos? The way most people tie the shoes is exactly what the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah are describing. It's a kesher on the bottom. You go over one time with the shoelace, then you make a bow on top of that. So although the Ramah sounded like no gebuhetter, it's totally mutter, according to this conclusion of the Mishnah Berurah, it's totally mutter, provided that it's not shokayama at all. So is that true? When you tie and untie shoelaces, is that shokayama or not? It depends how lazy you are. If you're not that lazy and you actually tie and untie your shoes when you go to sleep every night, you take them off and you tie them the next morning, so then we can assume that it meets all the criteria. It's tied for less than 24 hours, and it's a Neva Gabekesha, so it's not a Maisa Uman at all, not even Chashash, going to the biggest Machmirim. So therefore, it should be Butlechatchila to tie and untie shoes.
But then you're defining Kayama subjectively.
Oh, yeah, we're going to see in a second. It's going to throw back to what we spoke about earlier in the week. So the Pashup shot is that the tie and the untie shoe should be Hetter Gomer. It doesn't have the Maisa Uman dimension because it's a Neva Gabekesha, so it's not a double knot, and it doesn't have the Kayama aspect because it's being tied and untied within 24 hours. However, what if you have an individual who's a little bit more on the lazy side? He doesn't always tie and untie shoes, kind of slips them off at night and then kind of pushes them on in the next morning. And if he decides he wants to tie and untie his shoes on Shabbos, what would it then be? So as Mati said, correct, this is a throwback to what we spoke about earlier in the week. The machlokes is the Taz and the Bir Halacha. Do you follow the person? Do you follow the Olam? Who defines a Kayama? We kind of threw our hands up and said, maybe a combination of both. It means that Kayama may be defined by either the Olam or by the person. It's hard to be Mechweer that Shaila. So therefore, what I would tell a person is as follows. If you personally tie and untie your shoes all the time, have no qualms, have no hesitation, it's mutl l'chadchil shabal chachila to tie and untie your shoes on Shabbos. If you are a person who doesn't, and now all of a sudden on Shabbos you decide you want to tie or untie your shoes, I would say that's a problem. So I'll tell you where I personally fit into this picture. I don't generally wear shoes with shoelaces, so it's hard for me to be a machmir for myself. But there's only one time during the year on a Yom Kadosh that I wear something with shoelaces. That's on Yom Kippur, the most chomer day of the year, on Yom Kippur. So I wear sneakers with sneaker laces, with shoelaces. So usually what I do is, I mean, if I tied my sneakers for Yom Kippur probably about 10 years ago, and I'll slip them on before Chol Nidre, pull them off when I go to sleep, stick them back on, and take them off after Ne'ilah. So I don't consider my sneakers, which again, the only thing that I can talk about, it's the only time I ever wear anything with laces, so I consider myself to be a kind of a person who's on the lazy end in terms of the sneakers and the shoelaces, and therefore I would not tie them or untie them in Yom Kippur. So big deal, I never have to, except one year. One year, I remember it. It was a one year where I was davening in yeshiva for Yom Kippur. The reason I remember that was the only year I ever davened in YU for Yom Kippur because all the years I was a bachar, so I used to daven in Riverdale, in yeshiva in Riverdale hotels, and then after even after I got married, I daven there, and then after I got a job being a rav, so I daven there. But there was 1 year in the interim when we davened in yeshiva, and that 1 year, all of a sudden, it's like towards the end, after Musaf or something, I looked down and I noticed that my sneaker lace had untied. Somehow my sneaker lace had untied. So the initial reaction is, you're tied again. So I started thinking, wait a second, that's so poshut. I'm the one guy who can't tie it, because for me, maybe it's called kayama because I haven't tied it in 5 years. So even though the Ramah says no gebohete, but the Mishnah Berurah says not so simple. So what do you do? But it's a big deal. What do you do? So you leave the sneakers the way they are for the rest of Yom Kippur. Not so simple. I wanted to go home in between for the 3 minute break between Musaf and Mincha and Yeshiva. I wanted to go across the street. We lived across the street in the apartments. So I wanted to go home. Why did I want to go home? Because the reason why we were davening in Yeshiva that year is Meir Yaakov was just born. So I wanted to go check and see if my wife was okay, everything was all right. I wanted to go across the street. So what's the big deal? I could also walk across the street with a sneaker. Not so posh. Those years there was no Eruv across the street at all in Washington Heights. So the poskim have a discussion, if you're wearing a shoe with a shoelace that's untied, that's technically not really functioning, is that considered to be wearing, or is that considered to be possibly carrying on Shabbos? So one could argue one of two reasons why it's not considered to be carrying. One could argue that it is functioning. It's keeping the shoe tight a little bit. If you would have no laces in the shoe at all, it would mamash fall off. So it is serving a little bit of a function. And second, one could argue, even if right now it's not serving a function, it could potentially serve as a function if you... Migo could theoretically be tied up. Maybe it's also considered to be bottled in a bag. So both of those issues are potential or shyless. So I decided, you know what, let me, you know, Yom Kippur, before we do anything radical over across the street with my sneakers untied. So before I tie the sneakers, let me take a look and see what the din is. So was it with the break between the Musaf and Mincha? So I was about to go to the back where all the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasas were, except those who know the layout of the old Yom Beis Medrash and Yom Kippur. So the Ezra's Nashim is brought all the way up towards the third of the way into the Beis Medrash, and all the Sifri Halacha were in the Ezra's Nashim. And there were a bunch of women who were saying, tell them between Musaf, it wasn't the right place to spazier in to go find the Shmir Shabbos. So I had myself, Mom, should checkmate. I said, I couldn't tie the shoe because the Mishnah Berurah said there's a Shail of Keshva Gabi Aniva, Aniva Gabi Keshva. Couldn't walk across the street, Shash, maybe you're carrying. Couldn't go and check the halacha because it was a lawyer fair. So I had to take the least of all evils. I didn't do any shave yatasa odif. So I figured I'm okay now. If the Yom Kippur, have to explain away where I was. So I tried very nicely to explain away to my wife why I couldn't explain with the Mishnah Berurah, with the Ramah, with the women in the back. She accepted in good spirits, but that was first and last yeshiva spent in Yom Kippur spent in yeshiva.
So what if you're a person who ties and unties, but for some reason you're wearing your shoe for 24 hours? Like, even this year, there's like shul starts on Motzei Shabbos, so you put your shoes on Shabbos morning, and
it's such a mas, but he learns the whole day of Shavuos, doesn't take him off till the night. If you know they're going to be on for 24 hours, maybe you shouldn't tie them, but I don't know if you have to be so machmed.
Should you
case.
Untie and tie them sometime during the day?
In the middle, maybe. So I'll tell you the next Meisah Shoyt that hasn't happened yet in terms of the ties. It's almost happened.
If you would have tied it and then untied it later.
Right, but the problem is, it's a tie that for me is always considered to be Shal Kliyamos. That was the issue of the Taz in the Mishnah Berurah. Can you just have a make-believe tying and untying for the person who always keeps it regular? I don't know.
It's only for you, and then you can do it.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Okay. It's, where were you when I needed you 20 years ago? So the Maisa Shahaya that hasn't quite happened yet, at least part of it has happened yet, are bags of candy. When you want to throw it an offer, if you want to throw it a bar mitzvah. So very often you would hope that you make some kind of a tie around it, some kind of a bow around it, otherwise everything's going to fall all over the place. So I noticed in my house, it's a Shem having a bar mitzvah this Shabbos, so I noticed there were a lot of candy bags that were made in the last couple of days. I also noticed that they were made with Aniva Gabi Keshers. They were made with the one, like a shoelace, they were made with one thing on the bottom, and then there was a bow made on top. So the question is that a problem? So I think that is a potential problem, because, again, it's not a Maisa Uman issue, because the Ramah said, no, Rabbi Hethi, not to treat it as a Maisa Uman. On the other hand, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that later, Achronim will say, but you have to treat it as a Chashash for Maisa Hedyo, which would still be subject to the rules of Kayama. So how much is Kayama? So if that would have been made on Friday afternoon, you're going to throw the candy bag Shabbos morning, so you know for a fact they're going to be opened up in the next... I guarantee you these candy bags are not going to last all that long, especially the chametz and candies in there, so they're hopefully not going to last too long. Why are we having 100 chametz candy bags thrown into our living room at 3 days for Pesach. It's a different question. I was outvoted on that one. But anyway, I don't want to give away the suspense, but there are even Twizzlers in there, which are Mamash Chometz Gomer. So I'm not happy about that, as you can tell, but whatever it is. Anyway, so now the Shaila is, but these candy bears were made already 3 days ago, so they're going to last for more than 24 hours, maybe they're going to last more than a week even. So that's a real Shaila, according to the Shabur. I think it's a problem. So I instructed the powers to be that they have to undo all the candy bags and remake them only with a single kesher. So a single kesher, the Shabur said, is Mamash HaBegomar, so be it. So we'll see whether that actually happened to all of them. I think that's what happened. So we hope that's what happened.
We have to share their party
morning. Yeah, we can discuss. Yeah. You have a similar Shaila. These Shailas come up in terms of Galil also. There's Manah Zed, they're not that such common Shailas. Because most Sefer Torah have either Velcro, or even the older ones have the clasps or something. But if you remember, when I grew up, most of the older Sefer Torah were shoelaces. Their mama said, just a little string, a little thread, thing that went around. So usually the way we were taught how to do galilah is you make like a shoelace. You make a kesher on the bottom, and then you make a tie on top. So the question is that all right? So going back to the old story, so we're not choshish that it's a fear of a maisa uman. On the other hand, but it's made to last for X amount of time. Well, how long is X going to be? So it depends when you do galilah. If you're doing galilah Shabbos morning, and they're going to lay from the same Sefer Torah for mincha, so then maybe one could argue that's called not such ayashal chayama. But if you're the lucky person to get galilah Shabbos mincha, so unless tomorrow morning is a shchadish or chanukah or something, they're going to be laying from that Sefer Torah not till Monday, assuming they're even laying from the same sefer. So maybe one should be choshish not to do galilah. Do you remember remember in the Lower East Side what the minhag was? Did they get Baruch Machpid on this?
People did galilah.
The minhag was Baruch Machpid did galilah. Okay, so there are some poskim who are over this concern when doing galilah. So those who, again, not too relevant for us, but those who want to be Machpid for this and do galilah, so instead of going over with the bob, they would just go around a few times. The Yekesha style of just going around with the tie a little bit and hope for the best.
With the candy bags, you know, doing it well before Shabbos, the chashash is that the people
they can open it, right?
But they can open it. But the person who doesn't know any better opens it, right? So there's a nafkamina for him whether or not since you made the kesher before Shabbos, or you made the kesher on Shabbos, a nafkamina for whether he's over the isser when he opens it on.
I mean, he thinks that I made all the bags Friday afternoon.
No idea, right?
So he's like a shtickel mesasek. Man, he doesn't even aware he's doing a malacha. Maybe, okay. Don't tell my wife. Otherwise, we're going to have to redo the make it back to. Okay, and then it's a chumra kula, because we're machmer ruchas kesher. We're going to end up making ruchas by Rav Matze. We'd have all the twizzlers unraveling all over the house. Although I think that'll be open very, very quickly as soon as the kids get their hands on them. So there is one other aspect in terms of, a few other aspects to talk about, but one other aspect just this morning in terms of kesher, and that's a statement that the Rambam makes in 10th of the Marmar Kabos. So the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Ches writes, "Aposel chavolim min ahutziv min achelaf v'michutei tzev v'michutei pishtan v'michutei seir v'chayotz min areza toldus kosher v'chayov." If a person makes a rope, chavol is a rope. A person makes a rope from different materials, and the Rambam gives you a different from strings of wool, or strings of pishtan, of hairs, all kind of different things they would use to rope together, to twine together, to make a rope. So the Rambam says that's considered to be a toldus kosher. It's not kosher proper, because you don't make it in a knot motion. On the other hand, you're taking a lot of strings and you're combining them in such a way that they're now tightened together as one. So that's considered to be a part of the malacha deraisa of kosher. So we would probably think that what does that have to do with us? Most of us are not in the rope making business. So this was an interesting chumrah that not everybody accepted. And that was the issue that Shmir Shabbos raises this question about the twisties. You know, we used to call the freezer ties when we were kids, the twisty ties. So the question is, if you take a twisty tie, so what you're doing is you're taking the same piece of metal and you're wrapping it around itself and wrapping it around itself and wrapping it around itself so it's all twined together. So maybe that's considered to be a chashash of kosher. It's only one piece. Well, the malach of kosher could happen for one string also. If you take one string and you tie it on itself, that's also considered to be kosher. So the Shmir Shabbos quotes that maybe one should be machmir not to twist these twisties, not to open these twisties on Shabbos. A chashash of kosher. One could argue with this. There are poskim who argue with this and say this is not the image that the Rambam was describing. The Rambam is describing a guy in a rope factory making something really, really, you know, permanent, serious, heavy, professional kind of a rope. He's not talking about undoing a bag on a bag of chalas. So there are some who question this chumrah. Those who are machaf this chumrah, so then they would have to try to undo their chalas in a different way. So usually in that house, the general thing that happens on a Friday night is it takes me 10 minutes to, like, instead of undoing the thing, I try to slide it off. I try really hard and slide it for long enough. Usually what happens is somebody in the family gets impatient and takes it out of my hand and does whatever they want to do. For instance, the policy is it's not really awesome. We assume in the Sabbath, so it's not awesome. It's a chumra. Those who want to be machar for it, can be machar. Those who don't want to be machar for it are not obligated to be machar. But again, it's based on this Rambam in terms of kosher. Over Mitzvah Shem on Friday. So try to continue in terms of a little bit more kosher, a little bit more in terms of matir. Although we said that there's not that much to talk about matir, there's a little bit to talk about matir. So we'll try to hopefully put the final touches on these.